Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today, we're diving deep, really deep, into a question that's got us thinking.
Oh, this is a good one. I can already tell.
It really is. What does the Bible really mean, like, when it talks about fruitfulness?
Okay, I'm intrigued.
And I know we always say fruit this and harvest that, but we're going beyond apples and oranges today.
Metaphorical fruit basket time. I'm ready.
Exactly. Think growth, abundance, you know, all that good stuff we're cultivating in life. The real harvest. What's the Bible trying to tell us?
Well, you know me. I love a good metaphor. And luckily for us, the Bible is practically overflowing with them, especially when it comes to fruitfulness.
So true. And we've got a lot of ground to cover, from Genesis all the way to the Gospels. But let's start at the beginning, shall we? Genesis 1.28.
Yes. Be fruitful and multiply. Classic.
Right. Seems pretty straightforward at first glance. Have some kids, build a life, you know, the whole nine yards.
Sure, it's got those family-friendly vibes for sure. But I think there's a deeper layer here, too. It's about tapping into that creative spark, making something new, leaving your own unique mark on the world.
I like that. Like, we're all given this blank canvas, and it's up to us to create something beautiful with it, whether it's a family, a business, or a work of art.
Exactly. You're called to be an active participant in God's creation, not just a passive observer.
Which is pretty empowering when you think about it.
Mm.
And speaking of leaving a legacy, Psalm 1.3 paints a pretty vivid picture. It compares a righteous person to a tree bearing fruit in its season.
That's one of my favorite images.
Yeah.
Because it reminds us that growth, real growth, takes time. Just like a tree doesn't just sprout food overnight, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a process. You got to plant the seed, nurture it, be patient, and weather the storms along the way.
Absolutely. And I think that's something we often forget in our instant gratification society. Real fruitfulness, the kind that lasts, it requires patience, trust, and a willingness to embrace the journey, not just the destination.
So true. It's about the journey, not just the destination. You can't rush a good thing. And this idea of our actions having a ripple effect, that comes through in Proverbs 11.32. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." So it's not just about our own personal growth here.
Right. It's about how that growth impacts others. Our righteousness, our actions, our words, they have the power to nourish those around us, offer them shade. You know, like a tree providing shelter and sustenance.
I love that imagery. It's like we're all connected in this ecosystem of growth and generosity.
Exactly. And, you know, I think this is where things get even more interesting when we dive into the New Testament.
Because Jesus takes this whole fruitfulness metaphor to a whole new level.
Like, totally. John 15.5 is a game changer for me. Mm. I am the vine, you're the branches.
Whoa. Okay, unpack that one for me.
It's like we're not just growing on our own here. We're connected to something so much bigger than ourselves, something that sustains us, nourishes us, allows us to flourish.
We're all part of the same vine.
Exactly. And that connection, that union with Christ, it's essential for true fruitfulness.
Which is probably why the very next verse says we can't bear fruit apart from him.
It's all about where we're drawing our energy from, you know? Are we trying to do it all on our own strength, or are we plugging into the source of true life?
It really makes you think about where you're putting down your roots. And speaking of fruit, what kind of fruit are we talking about here? Like, what does a fruitful life actually look like?
Right. Because it's not like we're all walking around with literal apples sprouting from our heads. Well, most of us, anyway.
You never know.
But luckily, Galatians 5.22223 gives us a pretty clear picture. It's not about material success or outward achievements. It's about cultivating those inner qualities, those fruits of the Spirit.
Okay, give me the rundown.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control.
Okay, that's quite a list.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, some of those are definitely harder to cultivate than others.
Oh, for sure. It's a lifelong practice, not a one-time harvest.
So true. It's about the journey.
Exactly. But I think that's what makes it so rewarding. Because it's in that striving and that daily commitment to growth that we truly become more like Christ.
So it's like inner transformation is the real harvest.
I think so. But knowing all this, how do we actually cultivate that fruit in our own lives? Like, how do we make sure we're not the disease tree from Matthew 7.17?
Right. No one wants to be the bad apple that spoils the bunch. So what's the secret? How do we make sure we're producing good fruit?
Well, Colossians 1.9 says it beautifully, bearing fruit in every good work. It's about aligning our actions with our faith, looking for opportunities to serve others, to grow, to make a real difference in the world around us.
So it's about taking action. Our faith shouldn't just stay in our heads. It needs to be visible in the way we live our lives.
Precisely. And, you know, it's okay to start small. Even the smallest act of kindness or generosity can be a seed that grows into something beautiful.
It's about taking those baby steps.
Yeah.
One step at a time.
Exactly. And remembering, like John 15.16 reminds us, that we are chosen and appointed to go and bear fruit no matter where we are in our journey.
Even when we mess up, even when we don't feel particularly fruitful.
Especially then. Because it's in those moments of weakness that we often experience God's grace most powerfully. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He just wants us to keep striving, keep growing, keep leaning on Him.
That's actually really encouraging. It's like we're not defined by our failures. We're empowered to keep growing.
Exactly. We're a work in progress, always. And ultimately, all that striving, all that fruit we produce, it leads to something even bigger than ourselves.
Because ultimately, it's about eternal life. Right?
Exactly. As Romans 6.22 puts it, that fruit ultimately leads to sanctification and eternal life. Now, that's a harvest worth striving for.
Wow, talk about food for thought. It seems like biblical fruitfulness is about so much more than checking things off a to-do list.
So much more.
It's about aligning ourselves with something bigger than ourselves, allowing our faith to fuel our actions, and letting that have a ripple effect on the world around us.
And you know, it's in that journey, in that striving, that the real reward is found.
It leaves you something to think about, right? What kind of fruit are you growing in your life? Something to ponder as we wrap up this deep dive. Until next time.